of things that are more in a process stage, and by law, many of those have to be discussed privately, and no action can be taken that's not put out in the public. So it's usually more informational for us. We had the successor agency to the redevelopment agency had a closed session item, and we had several other items. And we will also be continuing after the council meeting because we didn't quite work hard enough, I guess. We'll be going back into closed session. But we always get public input on that. And then again, if any action is taken or to be taken, that is reported out. And so with that, we always turn over to our city attorney to say, is there anything to report from our closed session?
There's no reportable action.
And there you have it. With that, we'll go on to our regular council meeting. But before we begin, I did want to comment a bit and offer a statement regarding the Dallas Police Department and also an expression of our solidarity with our Atascadero Police Department and other law enforcement agencies. Speaking for our city staff and council, our hearts go out to the families of the Dallas police officers who were murdered, and we pray for a quick recovery of those who were wounded. We are keeping the Dallas Police Department, all officers, and their families in our prayers. We strongly support our law enforcement officers. The Atascadero City Council is extremely proud of the City of Atascadero's Police Department. We are grateful for all of the brave women and men who go out into our community and risk their lives to patrol our streets, protect our homes, and keep our families safe. We sincerely thank you, all of the law enforcement officers, for their selfless risks and sacrifices they make for Atascadero and San Luis Obispo County residents. Serving in the law enforcement profession is one of the toughest and most dangerous jobs in America. Those that serve are the heroes of our local communities, and they deserve our respect and admiration. And on behalf of all the city council and all the city staff, I do ask our community to, every time you hear a siren go by, be reminded of the diligence of our first responders and use it as a reminder to again offer our prayers for a safe community. If you join me in a brief moment of silence, that'll then be followed by Councilwoman Heather Moreno leading in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will now call our regular session to order. And we've had our Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie, here. Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Councilmember Kelly.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Next item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Approval of the agenda. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have a fairly short agenda on our usual city business, but we have a lot of presentations, which is really an honor for us because we have so many folks in our community and staff that do so much. We do like to recognize them. I would like to first see is Miss LaVon Ball here yet this evening. She is here. Well, if we could have you join us over at the lectern, we'll join you momentarily, but we do have a proclamation to read to you for your large amounts of volunteer time with the Doggy 9/11, which is a whole interesting story in itself. We'll let you describe that in a minute. We also have from Katra Shajian's office, Miss Vicky Jansen, who will also be, if you could join her, we'll have you also make a presentation. I think given that we have so much involved on this, why don't we make it very brief, if you would not mind saying a little bit about the program, or perhaps if you'd like to, just a brief intro, because we have a couple of proclamations to get through.
Hi there. My name is Janae Bowen, and LaVon is actually one of my junior vet assistants that's in my program. So tonight, we're presenting her with the President's Volunteer Service Award. My program, Dog A911, is a certifying organization under the President's Council. And the President's Council's Volunteer Service Award was actually issued by the Points of Light organization, which is on behalf of the President of the United States. It basically helps improve our American spirit and encourages all community members to get involved with volunteer service and civic participation. And this award was created in 2003. LaVon will be honored tonight with both the President's Volunteer Service Award for bronze and silver work. And that means she has amassed between 100 to 249 hours of volunteer community service under my Doggy 91 program. Our program is all about first aid and triage and disaster response for animals. And so that's what we basically do. We basically help perform anything for all types of animals. And LaVon works with us mentoring and helping with our youth and focusing, you know, all of their energies towards helping animals. So we just want to thank you guys for doing this for us and having us here tonight. I'm going to be giving her a couple of awards, I know, as we get through all this, but I'm just very excited. She's been with me, just briefly, real quick, she's been with me since October of 2013. She's a very sweet and shy young lady, helps a lot with animals. She volunteers in the community. She just graduated from Atascadero High School, is going to be going on to Cuesta College, and is very interested in being either a veterinarian or with animal law. She's interested in a lot of things. I know you guys can see some of our photos up there that we sent to you. So she was named my junior vet program director in 2015 of this year, so it means she's taken on another role and responsibility of actually managing and taking our youth and helping with them and kind of managing the program. So we're very happy to give her these awards, and we're happy to be here tonight.
Thank you. And maybe at this time I will ask, since the president couldn't come tonight, we do have our own Vicky Jansen representing Katra Shajian, our assemblyman. Would you make reference to what you have? And then Roberta Fonzi will close with a commendation we have. And then we'll all join in front. You can present what you have, and then we'll do one group photo. So, Ms. Jansen.
Well, thank you for allowing some time tonight to recognize LaVon. We are all very impressed with her at 17 years old to put in so many hours into the community as a volunteer and very deserving of the Presidential Service Award. So on behalf of Assemblyman Ashajin, I do have a certificate of recognition for LaVon, which I'll present. Congratulations, and thank you again.
Thank you. Well, wait right there, because we'll have you join us in a moment. Councilman Fonzie.
Thank you. Thank you, LaVon, for your service and your volunteerism. As a proud owner of two yellow labs, I appreciate the work that you're doing. Whereas LaVon Ball is a resident of Atascadero and a 2016 graduate of Atascadero High School, where she was active in many school activities and an honor student. And whereas LaVon Ball volunteers her service in numerous hours of her time for various local organizations, including Woods Humane Society Animal Rescue. And whereas LaVon Ball has worked in the local Doggy 911 Junior Vet Program, learning about animal emergencies and being named Youth Director of the program in 2015. And whereas LaVon Ball passed extensive course certification in order to perform all duties related to her work with Doggy 911, which included learning about animal first aid and triage, disaster response and preventative care, assisting with classes, teaching, demonstrations, events, mentoring to youth assistants, and speaking at various venues about the program. And whereas LaVon Ball assisted in the International Firefighter Cancer Foundation PAWS program, working with local fire service, educating first responders about canine cancer awareness for working dogs, and helping first responders learn about animal triage. And whereas LaVon Ball has been honored with the Presidential Volunteer Service Award issued by the President's Council on Service and Civic Participation on behalf of the President of the United States in recognition of her commitment to her work in Doggy 9/11, all pet emergency training, and her spirit of volunteerism. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Atascadero does hereby officially recognize and commend LaVon Ball for her dedication and her efforts towards emergency animal care and rescue, teaching others about emergency animal care and rescue, and her spirit of volunteerism, which epitomizes the community volunteer spirit of Atascadero. Let's give her a hand.
Well, if I could have you three join me right in the middle. We'll be flanked by our council, and then we'll ask, you can go ahead and receive the items you have to receive tonight. And next we have a group commendation. We don't do this very often. And again, it's a challenge for us because growing up in Atascadero, most of what we have has been done with volunteer effort. I always say, we got a lot of friends in Atascadero, friends of the pavilion, friends of the lake, friends of the library, and so much we have been blessed with. But I think folks especially like this, it's a little bit of a culmination because I can think of three individuals that really come to my mind. Of course, our old Our own Bert Johnson, Mark Greenaway, and Chuck Ward, especially those three names, come up a lot on so many big projects. And you don't always hear about them so much, especially Bert. He kind of hides away a little bit. But we are honored to make this presentation tonight for 10 community volunteers that have been on a very, I think, a very unique project in a town. And there actually should have been 11 or more names on here, but we do have a council member, Councilman Kelly, who is one of the co-chairs of this effort. And so I'm going to turn over to have you, maybe if you want to give a little background and read this commendation. We do have a commendation to give to each member. So after Councilman Kelly has completed, I'll arrange the logistics for us to connect with you.
Thank you, Tom. This is the culmination of an incredible journey that started maybe 5 or 6 years ago with the idea of having a Charles Paddock statue at the zoo. That project did go forward, as most of you know, and the statue was put in place with great support from the community. But during that process, along when Alan Baker would come out and we were looking around, we said, there's no sign here, it's a zoo. And the community was treated us so well, we did have a few dollars left over. So under the incredible guidance of Chuck Ward, he took on the project to complete the sign, which is now over the zoo. And I think as I read this, you can look at some of the photos that'll be up on the screen here, and it's really, really beautiful. So, recognizing the volunteers of the Charles Paddock Zoo Entry Signage Project. Whereas a beautiful new entry sign now graces the entrance of the Charles Paddock Zoo in Atascadero, thanks to the very successful efforts of the Charles Paddock Statue Committee, and specifically the individuals listed below, and whereas Chuck Ward, Atascadero resident, member of the Vandenberg chapter of the Military Order of World Wars and currently the commander of that organization, advanced the concept for the new Charles Paddock Zoo entrance sign and tirelessly spearheaded community fundraising efforts for the project. And whereas artist Mark Greenaway developed a beautiful, unique, and artistic design and completed the final paintings of the new sign, and whereas Andrea Greenaway expended an untold number of hours and effort in coordinating and performing logistics for the project, and whereas Burton Johnson, owner of the Steel Expert, completed the steel welding construction of the sign, and whereas Mike Smith of Mike Smith Engineering performed the professional engineering services, and whereas Mike Giorgino and Michael Foster of B&B Steel furnished the steel product required for the project, and whereas Chad Streeper of Full Spectrum Powder Coating completed the powder coating of the newly crafted sign, and whereas final placement and installation of the beautiful new sign was completed through the combined volunteer efforts and contributions of generous community and committee members, including Mark Greenaway, Burton Johnson, Greg Bunton, Dale Bywater, and Jimmy Q, who volunteers, I think, for everything in this community. Together with the City of Atascadero staff members, it's not on the proclamation, but I want to give special thanks to Rochelle and Nick, who went out of their ways and made this project very easy for us to complete. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Atascadero does hereby recognize and commend each of the above-named individuals for their meaningful support of the community of Atascadero and the Charles Paddock Zoo, as demonstrated by their unwavering dedication to complete and install the new and beautifully crafted Charles Paddock Zoo entry signage, for which, on behalf of the entire community, we are profoundly thankful. Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you. And I would ask all of those named in this commendation, if the 10 of you, if you're all here, come forward. We're going to spread out our council members between you because we each have a couple. We want to personally present you with your own copy. Thank you. And another member of our community that didn't get on the commendation because he's kind of like another city council member. Councilman Clay was active on this committee all along as well. And would you like to say a word?
Yes. I'd like to say a few words. I see these guys like Jimmy Q and Chuck. And they give back and give back. But when Chuck Ward, I think he just dropped out of the sky, you know, and come Tascadero. And I always said that when Chuck and Barbara came to Tascadero, it made Tascadero a better place. And certainly he's persistent. Bob knows that. He gets the job done. The other thing I want to talk about is Brian Miracle and Anita. Brian Miracle passed away, and he was the same kind of giving person that we have in our community. And he did so much. He was a Kiwanis member, and he did so much in our community. And Anita was really responsible for the theater. I mean, she put the loan together, and we would have never had a theater if it wasn't for Anita, Brian's wife. And Brian, unfortunately, passed, and he did a tremendous amount for the community. But what I'm worried about is who's going to fill their shoes, you know what I mean? Giving back to the community is a wonderful thing. You get way more out of it than you give. And so I just want to encourage people out there to give back to the community, get involved in a service group or get involved in helping your neighbor or whatever. But giving is a wonderful thing. And certainly these folks here that we just seen up there were givers and givers and givers. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on our agenda, also some folks who give a lot, is our own city employees. And we want to honor some of those that have put in a few years. Our Miss City Manager.
So thank you, Mayor. Absolutely. We have some wonderful city employees that we'd like to recognize. So if I could get you all to come up, Ann Jeanette, Sandy, Kate, Captain White, Sergeant Mollet, Jerry, come on up. Come stand right here. So this is Ann Jeanette Ordonez. We don't see Ann Jeanette a lot. She works in our police dispatch. She came to Atascadero PD after working for 13 years for the Santa Maria Police Department with Chief Haley. So good steal, Chief Haley. Way to go. We were fortunate to bring her on board with her valuable dispatch experience and her wealth of knowledge coming from a larger and very active agency. Antoinette takes great pride in her work and what she offers to her community. She was recently promoted to support services lead technician and is taking on a leadership role for dispatch and our records division. She somehow manages to juggle her very busy work schedule with her family life, which includes 4 children at home, 2 of whom are twin teenagers. So thank you, Antoinette, for your service to the city. We appreciate it. Kate, come on up. So this is Kate Capella, and she is a senior zookeeper at the Charles Paddock Zoo. You probably do see Kate a lot more, hopefully, if we all visit the zoo. Kate started with us as an entry-level keeper, but through her hard work and dedication, she very quickly distinguished herself and was promoted to the senior keeper position. Some years back, Kate was instrumental in reproducing and raising the serrated hingeback tortoises at the zoo, and the Charles Paddock Zoo was the first U.S. zoo to hatch this species of turtle. Kate handles all of the registrar duties for the zoo, helping to manage the zoo's animal collection and keeping track of all of the zoo animal data that is shared internationally. She also serves as a member of the city's safety committee, a very active member, and we appreciate having her. She helps ensure that zoo staff members are properly trained and follow all appropriate safety procedures while caring for our 200 inhabitants at the Charles Pettick Zoo. Kate is very dedicated to the zoo and the animals. In fact, on her vacation, you went to Nepal, hiked over all over the Himalayan mountains in the hopes of just getting a glimpse of a red panda. So that's the type of dedicated employees that we have, and we appreciate you. I appreciate having you at the zoo, so thank you. Sandy, come on up. So this is Sandy Scott. He's with our facilities division. He's been with the division for 10 years. He started with the city 10 years ago as a maintenance worker one, and it didn't take us very long to realize what an exceptional worker Sandy is. In fact, us as department heads, we usually fight over Sandy going, can we have Sandy do this? So Nick and Public Works Department has a tough time allocating his time out there. He was originally assigned to take on the maintenance of the brand new Colony Park Recreation Center. He continues to work where he's consistently kept the facility in top-notch condition. His work ethic and attitude has really made him the go-to guy for all of our departments. Due to Sandy's exceptional abilities and qualities, he was first promoted to a building maintenance specialist and then to a senior building maintenance specialist. Sandy is largely responsible for the recent major improvements at the police station, and Chief Haley can't stop bragging about him and about you, as well as a continued high level of service at all city facilities. In his spare time, Sandy enjoys his family and all kinds of outdoor activities. You can often find him working on his Jeep, getting ready for some off-road adventures in the Sierra Mountains, or on a sports field, supporting his children in multiple activities. Sandy married his junior high sweetheart, Joanne. Together they have 7 children, and have provided a loving home to many foster children. The city of Atascadero is truly fortunate to have Sandy on our team, and you are appreciated beyond measure. Jerry, you're next. So Jerry has been with the city for 15 years. She started in 2001 as a senior accountant. Shortly after that, she began serving as the deputy director of the finance department in 2003. She truly served as my right-hand go-to person. When I was the finance director, the finance department could not have run without her. She became the acting director of the department when I accepted the city manager position, and she received the appointment of director of finance or administrative services director in August of 2013. As director, Jerry was responsible for city budgeting, financial planning and reporting, contract reviews, grant management. She oversees operations of fixed assets, audit coordination, risk management, negotiations. She does anything to do with money. If it costs money or we receive money on it, Jerry's involved. So she is incredibly important to the city. She is a CSMFO budget reviewer, and her outstanding work on the city budget document has led the city to receive the Award of Excellence in Budgeting for the last 6 consecutive budget cycles. She heads up her department with a strong leadership skills, grace, and humor. She is also the force behind the finance department staff report, using her exceptional writing skills to translate detailed financial information into something we can all understand. Jerry is a consummate professional, extremely bright, knowledgeable, hardworking, dedicated, and all around just a really nice person. Jerry is very nice. She can do that with a smile. It's amazing how she can say no, you don't have the money for that, with that smile, and you think, wow, she's just so nice. She lives here in Atascadero with her husband, Jose, and their 4 children, who are all here. And thank you, Jerry, for everything you have done for the city. And especially everything you've done for me for the last 15 years. Thank you. This is Sergeant Bob Molay. He has served the city and the Atascadero Police Department for more than 20 years. Prior to his assignment as a patrol officer, Sergeant Molay served as both an explorer and a reserve officer, making him the longest-serving patrol officer in the department. All right. During his career, he has worked in a variety of assignments, including as a field training officer, canine officer, field training program coordinator, and range master. Very patient range master. I actually got to see that. I appreciate it. Very good teacher. He actually, great instructor. So along with his canine partner, Lesko, Sergeant Molay's past involvement with the canine program has made it the very real success that it is today. And he is still called upon to offer his expertise as it relates to the canine program. Sergeant Molay loves patrol, the lifeblood of any police department. He holds fast to the traditions of law enforcement and is the department's official historian. As such, he has been involved in several design changes with the department's patches and uniforms, the most recent of which was the Centennial Badge design, which pays homage to past and present police history. Sergeant Molay is a true leader amongst his peers. Chief Haley trusts his judgment and routinely calls on him to be the acting chief when Chief Haley is out of town. Sergeant Molay has the utmost commitment to professionalism. He can be counted on to always be there and to go the extra mile for his team, whether it be out in the field or preparing a meal to feed his shift, which I understand a lot of that goes to your wife, Rhonda. But the guys appreciate it. So Sergeant Molay was the first officer that Chief Haley rode along with when he applied for the chief position with the Atascadero Police Department. He left a tremendously positive impression on Chief Haley during that first meeting and has continually reinforced that impression since that time. Sergeant Molay loves recreational opportunities outside of work. He often takes road trips in his Jeep and recently took a recreational trip across the desert with some of his fellow officers. We're truly grateful to have an officer like Sergeant Molay working for the police department. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. And last but not least, certainly Captain Bill White. So Captain Bill White has been an official full-time employee for 25 years, but has been with the department for 28 plus years, is my understanding. He started as the very first Atascadero High School fire cadet back in 1987. He then served as a seasonal and reserve firefighter before becoming a full-time firefighter paramedic in 1991. Bill promoted through the ranks, first as a fire engineer in 1993, and then as a fire captain in 1999, all while maintaining his paramedic certification. Bill is responsible for the fire department's public relations program and is the department's public information officer. Additionally, he oversees the facilities and construction management activities at both stations. Bill has served as a fire investigator for the San Luis Obispo Fire Investigation Strike Team and citywide emergency planner and coordinator. He was an exercise evaluator at our 2009 Emergency Management Institute exercise in Maryland. He was a tactical paramedic with the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department and also served as the fire department's training officer. Captain White serves as a part-time fire chief at Templeton's Fire and Emergency Services and is assigned as an alternate public information officer on a U.S. Forest Service Incident Command team. Very busy man. Bill, also affectionately known to some as Twinkle Toes, due to his award-winning participation in the Dancing with Our Stars dance competition a few years ago. Was that the hustle? I remember the white suit. It was disco. There we are. He did an amazing job, and I think you were one of the top earners, were you not?
I did win that.
That's it. He is a UC Long Beach graduate and is a California State Certified Chief Officer In his spare time, Bill is an avid golfer, diver, and fisherman. So thank you for your 25 years of public safety service.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. So thank you to all of you, and if you can step up front and get your picture taken, and we'll have the council step up and recognize all of the hard work you guys do.
Right. Well, I think Sergeant Millay is sneaking out already, and that's quite fine. But I did have to tell a story about Sergeant Millay. He was still on the force when I was fairly new on the council, involved in the community. That's fine. You can keep making noise. I'm just filling in for the cameras here. But I remember Sergeant Millay was involved in some of our just community policing, and I got a call late at night myself while there was a couple of community events going on, and there were some problems going on downtown, and a lot of the folks involved with this community organization were fearful. They kind of got themselves into a kind of a bad situation with some folks that weren't as friendly, and I, you know, thought I'd just run down there and try to help. I called the police station. Well, you know, and remember getting Sergeant Millay kind of says, well, just hang on. We'll take care of this. And, you know, I was there, but I watched him in action, leading some other officers. And I tell you, I was very impressed early on with just their style and awareness and control. And I really felt safe for our community and just... It was one of those situations that could have really blown up and people could have got hurt, and he handled it just remarkably peacefully and resolved the situation. I've never forgot that. I kind of kid him about that early situation, but you got a good guy there, as you do with all your officers. They do a good job of community policing and keeps us safe. So thank you, Chief, and pass. Let him know I told the story again. Thank you. We do appreciate just the service of our staff. They really do put in go the extra mile. Next item on our agenda is the consent calendar, which are items we believe are fairly non-controversial, simple. We can just approve without a lot of discussion. We do have item A1. I am going to ask the city clerk to clarify. There's some changes that might need to be made for our consideration. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, it's actually page 10 of the packet, page 4 of the minutes. The first motion on that page is there were four items on the consent calendar, and it says that the council approved the consent calendar and then a list of the items, but you had pulled number 4. So to be extra clear, we'll just change that to say that you approved 1 through 3 of the consent calendar, and then down below you talked about 4 and then you voted on the fourth one. So we'll just fix that so it's clear It's okay the way it is, but it'll be clearer if we fix it.
Okay, so it'd be better for us just to go through items 1 through 3 and then deal with item 4 separately?
That was that meeting, so I'm just saying when you can just vote on the consent calendar tonight. We're just going to make that one minor clerical change.
Okay, so with that clarification, we still can go forward.
Yes.
So is any member of the council or public wishing to pull a consent calendar item for further discussion? If not, I'd entertain a motion on all consent calendar items.
I move approval.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilwoman Fonzi, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And we have updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I want to talk about Marston's 101. It is coming soon. It's my understanding that they've either been finaled or very close to it. So we expect them to open very soon. They're located at the south end of town next to the Holiday Inn Express, and they expect to hold a grand opening around the beginning of August. We don't have a set date yet, but I know that we're all looking forward to that grand opening. The new restaurant will have a wood-fired oven, a full bar, and a covered patio. And the menu is expected to be California cuisine with a number of farm-to-table options. They'll have a 2,000-square-foot Caladero event venue located right next door to the new restaurant, which will be great for special events such as business meetings, reunions, and wedding rehearsals. So I've been getting asked a lot, when's that going to open? The answer is very soon, so we expect to see that in early August. And then this weekend, I hope everybody's cleared their calendars because we have a lot going on this weekend. We'll start with Paint Your Way Down Traffic Way, apparently, not Zufari. It's going to be Saturday, July 16th from 4 to 7 p.m. The focus is art, food, music, in a family atmosphere. Participating restaurants and chefs include Hidden Kitchen, Fig, Back Porch Bakery, Denny and Moe's Cupcakes, Paradise Ice, and Atascadero Baking Company. Whiskey and June will have a location at the Carlton. There'll be a number of art stations to paint on canvas. The best paintings will be considered for light pole flag art that will soon adorn the light poles all along Traffic Way. Bring the family out for a fun downtown experience, and it'll only be $10 per ticket for the 5 food samples. Tickets are available on Saturday, July 16th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Carlton, and tickets are limited and are first come, first serve. So it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. They're encouraging artists of all abilities and all ages to come out and try it. Even if you don't want to paint, come enjoy the food, the hospitality, and the very friendly atmosphere. The Traffic Way events continue to be very popular, and those that attend seem very happy and are anxious to come back for the next one, and we expect the same from this, so it'll be wonderful. We also have Ice Cream Zufari. That's also on Saturday night, July 16th. That'll be from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Charles Paddock Zoo. Your zoo entry ticket includes all-you-can-eat ice cream, popsicles, sundaes, toppings, and root beer floats. This year's, we are featuring Doc Bernstein's ice cream. It's a very fun evening. Everyone gets to stroll through the zoo on one of Atascadero's warm summer evenings, enjoying the animals while also enjoying lots of cool and delicious treats. It's $8 for children 3 to 11, $12 for everybody over 12, and trust me, you will have more ice cream than you could possibly want. It's always a tough choice trying to figure out which ones you want. We'll also have sugar-free treats and some other things there for those that don't necessarily want to partake of the ice cream, but it's a fantastic evening. And also, the last thing on Saturday night is the Saturday Evening Concert in the Park. It's going to be featuring the Guy Budd Band with blends of blues, rock, funk, and jazz music that will get everyone on their feet and dancing. It'll be at the Atascadero Lake Bandstand beginning at 6:30 p.m. The concerts are free and open to the public thanks to our very generous sponsors, including Daylight Garden, CCPM, Hutch, and a number of others. So we thank them and please come on out and enjoy the concerts. I also had a bit of brief news from Nick. We did issue the permit for the lake pipeline to refill the lake to the Atascadero Friends of the Lake today. They came in yesterday to pull that permit and got us the last of the information today, so we were able to get that issued, and we expect that to start very soon. I know the Friends of the Lake are excited, and so are we. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any council questions? Thank you for that report. Next item on the agenda is community forum, an opportunity for anyone in the public to speak to us on any item not on the agenda and yet under our jurisdiction. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Jerry Clay again. First of all, I'd like to thank the council and Tom for recognizing the deaths of the police officers in Texas. It was very nice of you to do that. When I come in contact with a veteran or a person that's in the service, I always thank them. And I think it's time that we start thanking our police officers when we come in contact with them. Can you imagine going out every day and not knowing that you might be in a situation, you know, a life or death situation? So please, I'm just offering that to the public. If you're in contact with a police officer, thank them for their service. The other thing is, I want to talk about non-lethal means, equipment for police. I'm really proud that probably 10 or 12 years ago that the Atascadero Police Department, Wade McKinney was the city manager then, we got all the equipment possible for non-lethal types of equipment. So our police officers had the pepper spray balls, they had the dog, they had the bean bags, they had the tasers, mace, the whole bit, and I think it's really helped. And I know that we had a situation here recently where a man, you know, basically was crazed and went berserk, and the police did everything they could. I talked to the chief, he said they tasered him 3 times, but he was in a state where it didn't have anything to do with him. They shot him with the bean bag, and that didn't have any effect, and they ended up having to shoot him, which was in a non-lethal area. So I think they did a heck of a job. But anyway, I know that there's police departments across the United States that don't have the non-lethal type of things. And that leads the officer just to one thing, and that's the gun. And, you know, that's a real bad choice. And, you know, I talked to my buddy up there, and that was a highway patrolman. And he said Bob said that he had 2 friends that had, in the time they were in the highway patrol, had to kill someone. And he said it affected their lives from then on. And I no policeman wants to shoot someone. It affects them. And I talked to the chief. He said the same thing. It affects your psyche. So this non-lethal stuff that we got is great. I would encourage all other police departments to get everything they can in the non-lethal way. And anyway, that's my pitch. Let's thank these policemen like we do these veterans now, and they do a heck of a job. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak? Seeing only one other member in the public, and he's not coming forward, we'll close community forum, bring it back to the council. We do not have any public hearings this evening. We do have a management report, and I'm going to turn over Item C1, Land Use Definition Amendments, City of Atascadero, to Mr. Dunsmore.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Tonight we're going to talk about a little bit of zoning maintenance, I'll call it, and this is a topic that we broached with the Planning Commission last week on July 5th. And primarily it's the discussion about the zoning ordinance amendments in regards to the land use definitions and also the plans to put together what we call a zoning handbook, which is an illustrated version of something we can give to the public to easily understand the zoning with the most basic components. So I'm going to talk about a few of those things, and And I wanted to really introduce this topic tonight without delivering the full package to you, because there's a lot of information here. We wanted to kind of give you the purpose and the background and tell you why this is consistent with kind of what we've been talking about through strategic planning exercises, and give that overview before we really jump into it at a future session when we look at those details and we can get some feedback from you tonight before we get into those details. So really, what I'd like to be able to answer tonight is, what is a land use definition and how do they work? Why an update of those definitions further our city council goals? And a little more description of why we should move forward with a more user-friendly zoning handbook to give to the public. The primary goal here is in building and maintaining a business-friendly relationship. And that really links back into a lot of our city goals. And it also links into implementing common sense regulation, promoting economic development, and really improving that communication between staff and the public and the development community. And the land use definitions really act as an important component to that. They are what convey what you can or can't do with your property, which is one of those basic entitlement components. So oftentimes it starts with an idea. A customer comes to the counter with a business idea, or they call, or they look at our internet website with a business idea. And those business ideas are often brought to reality through the land use provisions, through the land use definitions, through our zoning. Oftentimes they won't even communicate with staff. They'll look at our zoning ordinance, they'll look at our municipal code online in an effort to either invest in our town or to be able to determine what they can do with their property. So it comes up with the question, what can I do on my property? In many cases, we assist a customer with describing the potential, you know, they describe their potential business, and city staff will do the following. We'll look at the zoning of the site, determine what use, what category that use fits into, and sometimes there's some discretion involved in that because we can't define every land use in the world. We can only give examples. And then from that, we determine whether that's something that's allowed just by right, allowed with a conditional use permit by the Planning Commission or through an administrative use permit process, or something that's just not permitted at all because it's just not appropriate in that particular location. So to determine that, we rely on these examples, these hypothetical uses of typical land uses. And they were created so that staff and customers can easily interpret what's appropriate for each district. And that's really that first step in that entitlement process. Generally, if you have something that's a permitted use, it becomes a shorter entitlement process. It might just be a business license. In some cases, they might have to do improvements, such as tenant improvements, which would trigger a building permit. But in other cases, it might be a conditional use permit. We might have to take a look at the overall neighborhood compatibility and bring a project to the Planning Commission or to you as a city council to determine, hey, is this a correct use for that area? And we might have to apply conditions to that to really further its neighborhood compatibility. I don't intend for us to read this whole list on the screen tonight, but this is essentially what we work with today. This is our land use list. This happens to be for one zoning district. This is our commercial retail zone. And this is what we scan through when we get someone that comes in with a particular business to try and determine where they fit. Are they allowed? Are they conditionally allowed? Or if they're not there at all, they might not be allowed at all. Unless we can make an interpretation that they're close to one of these particular uses. Now, what staff has found is that many of these land use lists here that we have were brought over when the city was incorporated back in 1979, 1980, and a lot of them haven't really been updated. And this is something that we should be regularly looking at to be able to keep up with current market trends. And all these definitions, they really contain generalized descriptions of uses that may be permitted. Some of them are really specific, and they get into the infinite details. And that's because they need to. For example, with a medical extended care or a service station or a funeral service, those are really specific things. And then there's other things that are just simply general retail, general merchandise, offices, manufacturing. And they might be in much broader categories. So right now our focus is looking at what needs to be updated. What we're finding is that we have a few of our titles in our zoning that just don't have definitions at all. And that's because when our general plan was updated in 2002, it adopted a new set of land uses that never really got codified into the zoning. And then our downtown zone came along with some great land uses such as research and development and other uses that never had definitions attached to them. So now is a time when we can look at adding those definitions. And we can also look back at these land uses that weren't modified since city incorporation. And there's a few of these land uses that just would never work in the city, such as a forestry operation or a fisher and game preserve or something, you know, like a textile mill. There's things that are just a bit outdated. Now, a lot of these things could still fit under certain definitions, and we can create things that match something close to that. But there's some certain things that just are remnants of the past. So in summary, really, these things are meant to be reviewed regularly. The zoning should be a living document. We should continue to keep up or even stay ahead of market trends. I mean, primarily, we just want this to be consistent with the general plan and the zoning ordinance. The whole intent here is not to change the uses that are currently allowed on properties, not to make what's out in our city right now non-conforming, but instead to be ready for that next phase of what's coming to us, instead to be more reactive to what is the trend right now, and instead to make land use interpretations easier so that when we have a customer, we can say, oh yeah, you're in this category, this is easy. So part of that is broadening some of these categories. For example, having just a light manufacturing and heavy manufacturing district and having examples of those both. Right now, we've probably got 15 different land uses that could fit into a manufacturing type category, and they're very specific, and a lot of those uses just don't exist today. That's one example of one of the efforts we're trying to do with this, is just to make it easier to read. And the whole idea, again, here's a list of those things: economic development opportunities, encouraging entrepreneurship, eliminating or consolidating antiquated land uses, ensuring that we're not making what we have on the ground today non-conforming so we can accommodate those existing land uses, and again, broadening some of the categories by using good examples and performance standards instead of being so specific. And I'm going to have Alfredo just chime in and tell you about the other part of this activity, which is the zoning handbook, which is something we're going to bring to you at the same time, which is sort of that user's guide, the how-to guide with the basic provisions of zoning that we intend to pull from the municipal code and make into a nice user-friendly guide.
So as Philip mentioned, you know, one of the primary purposes is to really help not only us at the front counter expedite things to our residents, contractors, or anyone else that we deal with and we have customer interactions with on a daily basis, but also make it a lot easier and simpler for folks who live in our community to be able to go online or be able to go to our counter and figure out what the heck is going on and what they can and cannot do with their property. Part of that is really going through our code. Our code is just, sometimes it's hard to read, it's hard to navigate, and that's understandable. It's a code, it's a municipal code. However, what we want to do is create what's called a zoning handbook, and that provides the most commonly utilized sections of our code that contains basic processing standards, use tables. So as you saw on the slide earlier, we have to flip currently back and forth on our, especially our commercial portion. We have to basically fit through six zones just to verify if someone at the counter wants to open up a certain business, where can they even open? One that is time-consuming, it's cumbersome, but also it's not easy to use and easy to read information for our customers. As Phil had mentioned, our definitions, broadening them, tightening them up, conversely also expanding them, being up in the economic forefront of new uses that are forthcoming. Parking standards being, you know, one of the biggest issues that businesses have is when a business comes to us, we want to make sure we give them as much ready information available as possible. Not 10, 15 code pages and sections that I have to pull out, or Phil has to pull out, or Katie has to pull out, and we have to sit there and highlight and box and all that. a business that's really, if you can give them a sheet or two or three, it shows them what their parking standards are, what their setbacks are, what their allowed uses are. It gives them the information, the tools available readily for them to quickly start up or relocate or open up a new business here in the community. So as I mentioned earlier, this is the format of our code. There's the purpose, there's allowable uses, conditional uses, the list goes on and on. In one section, there's development standards. In another section, there's definitions. In another section, there's landscaping standards. It's all not in one singular place. And so really, again, this goes back to what Phil had mentioned, is making a living document, making a workable document, making this document do a lot more stuff for not only us as staff, but also for our residents and our customers. So this is just an example of our front setbacks. If you even attempt to read through that, it's very fun. It's a great read. I love it during late at night. But at the same token, it's a difficult one, really trying to explain to someone who goes online, who finds our code and tries to explain it to themselves what a sloping line adjustment is. Even I have to read that about 3 or 4 times just to figure it out. That's not where we need to be. That's not where we want to be as a community. We want to be able to, again, give those answers in a very concise, precise, and easy manner so that not only can a customer or a resident feel that they've been given the proper answer, but also sort of continue that mantra that we've built up for the last 4, 5, 6 years, that we are ready for business, we're open for business, and we're here to serve you as a resident, as a customer. So this is just a snapshot of our proposed zoning handbook. What you see there is the cover page itself. The residential use table matrix, that's actually where we started going about 2 years ago. You as a city council approved a very massive overhaul to our residential zoning code. We're going to basically do the same thing with the commercial zones and the land use definitions. Put it in a nice, easy-to-use table. Clearly, we break it up into categories of uses. So residential uses, we have recreation, we have, right now, we have industry and manufacturing and processing. That's in there. Agriculture-related uses. So they're all grouped in one location. We would like to do the same thing with our commercial uses. Group them all in one location. Service and tourism related, retail sales, offices. If we can group all those uses together, it again helps really cut through the what I call glippity gloop of our code into a much more easier to read and easier to understand handbook. Another portion of the handbook is to make it really understandable through the use of graphics and tables. So as mentioned earlier, parking standards, that's typically a big one when it comes to businesses that want to open here in the community. Make those parking tables really understand and easy to read. This can be especially difficult when we bring up parking standards at DRC. We want to be able to pull those out for any resident, for any future business owner or existing business owner. And the second one is just graphics. Our code as it stands today is really heavily text-based, so it's really hard to diagram what a setback actually is. Most of our residents who come to the counter and ask for questions are really appreciative when I actually can whip out a very nice piece of scratch paper and illustratively show them what a setback is, even with just a basic box, shadow, and a really quick highlighter. And I give them that piece of paper, and they're very appreciative of that. It'd be much easier, obviously, I can still continue to do that, but if we can pull out that code section or they can visit online, for it's very clear, it's very graphical, that helps in an immense way to not only connect with our customers and our residents, but at the same token, make it easier for read, make them easier to understand the government process that may be involved for whatever they're trying to do with their property. And with that, I'll turn it back to Phil.
What I'd like to also just talk about briefly is the Planning Commission last week on Tuesday and some of their observations of this activity. In summary, they were very supportive of this activity. They felt it was somewhat overdue. We didn't obviously get into the details because we gave them a very similar presentation to what we have tonight for you. What they did bring up, though, and what they did two separate motions on were a couple of items that I'd like to leave you with. One of those was the short-term vacation stays, Airbnb, and they asked if staff would be tackling that issue with this particular zoning exercise. Our intent was to not tackle that because it's a separate, much larger issue, but they did make a motion on that and asked the City Council if that issue could be tackled. And the other was second dwelling units and having different definitions or different fee structures for those, and they asked if that was going to be tackled. And we don't intend to tackle that as part of this particular zoning amendment, but I needed to bring you that information. That was part of their comments last Tuesday evening. Other than that, they also, along with staff, wanted to make sure that existing land uses in our zoning districts now could be accommodated, and generally felt we were headed in the right direction with both the zoning handbook and the proposed land use definition amendments. So our plan is to go back to the Planning Commission with the actual material in August and back to the City Council in September with both of these items.
And that concludes your report.
That concludes my presentation. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer your questions. Yeah.
Well, I think you did a very good job. And first, I want to just say a couple comments about both of you. I understand Alfredo has been out in the community again doing a very good job following up on signage issues. So I just wanted to report back that, you know, I think we're very pleased with the results of the signage initiative, our partnership with Chamber. And I think you've done a good job helping to facilitate that and appreciate you doing the follow-up. And it seems to be making a difference downtown. And Phil, I think you've done a good job of bringing this whole issue to our attention. I appreciate your wealth of experience and ideas coming forward on this. And I think you've got about the right pace, quite frankly, for us. I think, you know, you're thinking it through, bringing it back in kind of stages for us and letting us give it some thought. And this is an opportunity for us to weigh in. I think a number of council members do have, you know, just some things to add to the thinking list. But, you know, and I think we all appreciated the tour of town you did with us that kind of helped us visualize some of these things that we kind of felt we've heard from folks in the community, but I think you helped us visualize that, and I think you've got a good strategy, and we just support you going forward. But we'll now turn over to council to maybe offer a few more thoughts of things you might want to check out. So we first have Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yeah, I think this is just a great step forward to bring a task order up to, you know, the ever-changing current business environment and things that are going on. I know you mentioned handbook several times. Will this be a condensed handbook or something that would be available over the counter to developers or real estate agents to have in place all of the time so they'll actually be able to have a document in their hand, or will it only be on the internet?
The idea is to have both an internet version and a copy available at the counter that we can give out to folks so they can quickly, you know, highlight pages and dog-ear pages and the whole bit.
Great, thank you.
Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you. I think this is something that's long overdue. There's always been questions about some of these newer uses coming in. I had a question regarding one of the criteria you had, which was broaden categories by utilizing performance standards. What do you mean by that?
Just to more narrowly define that, a good example would be having low-intensity manufacturing, high-intensity manufacturing, and a description of what's low-intensity, which is generally an indoor activity of manufacturing without a lot of neighborhood compatibility issues. And we would list, for example, performance standards and particular examples of uses that might fit that category, whereas the latter might be high-intensity manufacturing. It might have outdoor noisy things or dusty things, or there's a lot going on, a lot of storage outside, and that might have performance standards that go with it and examples that go with that as well.
Okay, very good. I'm really interested in making sure that we retain Atascadero's ability to have small businesses in the home. I think Atascadero, from the very inception, has had the idea of sustainability. It was at one point in time under E.G. Lewis that people would raise their own animals, or they would have an orchard or sell their products. And I want to make sure that we retain that flavor as a small business incubator of sorts within the residential area and not be too restrictive. And we need to, of course, keep this within bounds, that we don't want the butcher shop next door to your house, for instance, or other things that we've seen that have come up under CUPs. But that flexibility in the residential area is something I think is important to encourage and build into this if possible. And I want to make sure, if we can, that we insert this common sense idea that there's a certain logic to why things are where they are. And I think it's easier to explain it to the public if we can tell them, well, we don't really want something really noisy in the residential area, for instance. They have some logic to it. We don't do this because, or we do something because it fits. And if we can put that piece of logic in for the consumer, I think it would be of a great benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Councilman Sturdivant.
Great job, and I like what you had to say, Councilmember Fonzie. I think that is important, that letting them know why, because so many times it's not obvious, but once you explain it, it makes a lot more sense. And I just wanted to say I really like the idea of the graphics, because for any of us to just look at that code, your eyes glaze over. And so I think having those graphics, the more that makes sense, I think, the better. And I do like the chart that you're putting together, like you've done for the housing, and now doing that with the other uses, I think, is great. So you're on the right track with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant.
When we were talking about the El Camino study, there was a discussion about how there's too many of the zoning, different types of zoning districts up and down the El Camino. There's the same uses. So in looking at these definitions, is there going to be any consideration of consolidation as to, you're saying there's 15 different manufacturing. Is there going to be any consideration as to areas for that or different zones where those would be, approved, not approved? Is there going to be any moving around of that type of thing, or just strictly just definitions? That's all we're doing.
It's really strictly just definitions, but along with the definitions, we also, when we're creating or modifying the definitions, we do also have to play with the land use matrix, which is what's allowed where. So a few of those we're going to have to plug in, but the intent here is not to change what's on the ground or not to change those categories, which is more of a general plan amendment, which is more of zoning amendments on the map. That's not happening here. This is solely the definitions, but again, there's a little bit of playing around, but the idea is not to create nonconformities, not to create changes on the ground. If something's nonconforming today, it's going to stay nonconforming with this change, but the idea is to not say, oh my gosh, we have all these businesses along El Camino Real that we just don't want in that location, and we're going to zone those out. That's not the goal of this exercise.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other council questions or comments? Councilwoman Fonzie.
This may be a kind of a curveball to throw at you, but I know with the marijuana rules going to change possibly in November, some of our ag rules may have to deal with marijuana. Has some thought been given to that one? For instance, you might have allow a fruit stand for someone who raises apricots on their hill, but we don't want a pot stand for someone who raises pot on their hill. So I wonder how we can accommodate that and make sure that we're okay.
And we don't have plans to accommodate that. We do want to continue to accommodate the produce stand and the small scale ag and the what we call artisan kind of ag sort of uses. But and we do define medical marijuana. We have to add a definition for that because we haven't had that, and that's pretty straightforward because that's consistent with the code adoption we recently did. But in terms of if in November the state decides to approve recreational marijuana, it is going to come along with a whole different set of regulations, and I think we'll have to wait to react to that at that particular time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed, I want to see if the city attorney would like to comment on that distinction. Do we have at this point that flexibility, or could be completely different come November? But if you'd like to respond to Councilwoman Fonzie's question.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen in November. So I think you could go either way. You could have the work completed prior to November, and then if something happens in November that should require a change, you could do it. I guess it depends on what the urgency is, based on what the Community Development Department believes, how soon this needs to be done. I mean, we're in essentially the middle of July, so we have some number of months to go until we get to November. If they feel that there's a need to get this matter taken care of before November, that can certainly happen, and then adjustments could be made after the November elections if necessary.
Thank you. We do have more council questions I want to get to, but I do want to I understand that what I'm going to ask council to hold off on at this point, let's get through any discussions council members have. Then I'm going to ask if there's some recommendations specifically for staff to work on, rather than one person saying something, if there's consensus, like there may well be consensus. Well, let's take a little closer look at that aspect, Councilman Fonzie. If there is consensus on that, well, then, you know, that might percolate a little higher, like the city attorney says, well, maybe we want to have something somewhat in place or drafted and change it later. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I want to exhaust any discussion council members have first, but any recommendations, let's hold off. I'll ask for that, and then if there's, you know, good council consensus, then that's certainly something we would be addressing. Councilman Kelly. Oh, first, excuse me, city manager wanted to address that as well.
I just wanted to say that I have been looking at the drafts of the zoning definition changes, and we are trying to carve out marijuana and specifically refer people to our marijuana ordinance for that. We will be working with the city attorney to do that because we know that is a concern, so that we have something in place if it does pass, but we will work with the attorney on that, and that's what our plan is.
That kind of satisfy your question then? Okay, Councilman Kelly.
Yeah, mine just follows up kind of briefly. I think we were talking about recreational use, but I remember seeing something as you went through your presentation about medical services, and I think if it does pass in November, part of it's going to be medicinal marijuana. So I think we have two different things working here, and I'm sure you guys will be on top of it and see what we can do to make sure it's handled correctly.
Thank you. Any other council thoughts to share? I just have a couple. And one, I think as the council and staff has done a pretty good job over the years streamlining commercial and business application processes and things. I think we could still do more. I think that's still a priority for the council, that things are as streamlined as, like we say, we don't really want to be in the business of adding rules. California does a pretty good job of coming up with a pretty good list as it is. One thing I often heard, as Councilwoman Fonzie indicated, anytime I've talked to constituents door to door for various reasons or in the community, people always bring up, well, don't hurt home businesses. And I think I'm going to segue after we close off this item under my mayor report from the city countywide mayor's meeting. That was really a topic having to do with some of the issues you raised up by the Planning Commission. I'll address them at that point. But I think a good approach that other cities haven't done, that I think we've done a better job at, than I'd like to continue, and Councilman Moreno and Fonzie both hit on this, rather than saying, here's a list of stuff you can't do for whatever reason, we don't like something. We have our limitations are coming from definable constraints, and it's tied to we don't want to create traffic problems, we don't want to create parking problems, we don't want to create a noise problem, we don't want to create a health and safety. There's a lot of very specific things that most concerns people have are tied to something that is very definable, and I think that makes it a lot clearer communicating with the public. So rather than saying, well, whatever, you might say, well, we don't want to have construction businesses in residential areas. Well, we don't want them parking big equipment on the right-of-way road area. We want off-street parking. We might have some limitations in terms of hours of starting up equipment. We've had some of those issues come up. But if we can kind of get to quantifiable things that, rather than telling somebody you can't do, let's listen to the concerns people have and let's mitigate those concerns. And if you can mitigate them, you know, I think this council would be more supportive. And if you can't, well, then that's a real problem, you know, rather than saying, well, we just don't want to do something. So I think just as an observation, I think that would be something. And are there any, after everything that has been heard and said, is there anything we want to specifically ask staff to do that they haven't mentioned? Any council member? They pretty much got it covered, I think. Okay, I think we have concluded any staff input. So onward and forward, and good job there, Mr. Dunsmore. We'll close that item C1, moving on to council announcements and reports. And again, given the limited aspects we have to discuss, go ahead and merge any announcements, reports, committee reports together. I'll just go from my left to my right. Councilman Kelly.
Nothing to report in the past, but tomorrow at 1 o'clock there will be a design review committee meeting up in room 306, I believe, and we'll be discussing the proposed design for the modifications of the Cocoa restaurant building and what's going on. The meetings are open to the public, and if you have any interest how we get to the finished product, this is a good example to come down and sit in at a DRC meeting.
Thank you. No report. Councilman Fonzie.
No report on that, but I did have one concern, so I would call this an individual determination or action. I'd like to get some kind of a report in the future, just very briefly, and this would be perhaps from the city manager or the police chief about personal cameras for our policemen. We've talked about it just briefly in passing, but it's becoming more of a concern that you would wear on your person when you're doing a traffic stop. And I know you have some of that, but I'm not fully briefed on what you have and what you don't.
We'd be happy to brief council on it and actually provide a demonstration for you at some point in the near future. We have just recently implemented our body camera program, and we have them available for our officers during all of their shifts now. So we're proud of the program that we put together, and we'd love to show it to you.
That would be perfect. Thank you.
Well, on that note, and again, it's always dangerous when council members get ideas. I'm going to leave it between the chief and the city manager, but I kind of like the idea of a demonstration. And as former Councilman Clay brought up, I think our city is way ahead of a range of options that the officers have, not only on equipment, but in training to use and some of the less lethal. And, you know, things tend to be a little slower the next few months at council meetings. If you two agree that maybe there could be a little review of what your options are, very generic, not tied to any issue, particular incident or anything, of course, but I think that might be interesting to the public, as well as, yeah, if there's some things we can test drive, or let's see what that looks like on a the body cameras. I think anything along those lines, I think I see I see at least one nod as is that a nod over there, Councilman Kelly?
No, I think it's a real idea, good idea, because there's so much of it in the press, and I don't think everybody really gets a good preview of how things really work, when they work, how sometimes they don't work, and at times maybe you don't get the full story, but exactly what we're trying to achieve here, and maybe a display of the alternate devices that we have, like taser guns, your beanbag stuff. I don't know if you have the shoot the glue at them or the nets or what have you, but that we as a city are practicing good safety habits to keep things as minor as we can, I guess, in confrontations. I think it would be a real good idea.
So I think there's obviously some council consensus, but again, sometimes what we think is a good idea isn't necessarily. So I'm going to leave that with you two to take care of that in one way or another.
Did you want to volunteer for the taser?
I was very good. I held back from a lot of things going through my mind, and I didn't say them. So some of us have more restraint than others. So I'll just let that go. Other council announcements, reports. A couple things I would mention myself. The County Mayor's Roundtable, which is all the county mayors meet, all seven of us, once a month. Last time was down in Pismo Beach. The main topic was on transient occupancy and on the issue of really some of the tourism issues. And countywide, as well as within the cities, a lot of times the tourism marketing groups are taking the lead on this, giving feedback to the cities, because it sometimes a little tough for cities aren't sure what to do on this particular topic. But I think, again, there are cities that are really surprising cities that I wouldn't expect, like Morro Bay is banning vacation rentals. I wouldn't have expected that. many cities are concerned. This is something that the countywide tourism organization is concerned about. Statewide, it's an issue because with the growth of Airbnb and the transient stays, it's something that's really being researched. And in some ways, I think it's being handled at a county level, and then that will kind of come filter down to the tourism boards, who I think are working good with city staff. So I won't make the city attorney too nervous and trail off any further on that, but I think that's something that Terry Banish could give us an update on. What are people thinking countywide on that? We also touched on state road issues, and I think the consensus is we had representatives from Senator Monning's office. I've talked with him personally, as well as Cacho personally and his representatives. No one sees any hope of the state reaching agreement on anything, certainly road issues. And it's very divided from a partisan standpoint. There are some good ideas on both sides, but it doesn't look like anyone's going to agree enough with the other. I think the mayors were in consensus, why don't you do it all? We could use all the help we could on roads, but that wasn't flying. So I don't think there's much hope for any short-term relief on the road issue in our state. And I think that partisan politics was a big discussion item for the countywide mayors, too, because I think people have almost forgotten that at a city council level and at a county level, they really are nonpartisan positions, and yet more and more people are really being pulled in and lobbied heavily with the same things that happen at a state and federal level, and it does make it tougher to really put your community first. And so I think that was a little bit of discussion. The Council of Governments will be meeting tomorrow along with the Regional Transportation Authority. Council of Governments, the primary topic will be much like the council considered. If the county puts on the agenda which they will be voting on in a week, to put on the plan for having a half-cent sales tax for 9 years, would we agree that this is a good formula for how to spend the money and divide it up? And so that, of course, will be voted on for I don't know how many times we've done this, but we'll do it again just like each city has done. All seven cities have adopted the basic plan, and SLOCOG will consider that again tomorrow as well, and then the board will consider in a week putting that on the ballot. Now, it is interesting the fact that we're not talking about any city council raising a sales tax. We can't do that. County Board of Supervisors can't raise sales tax. A majority of the voters can't do it. It's a two-thirds vote, which is a pretty high standard. And so that if the board does put it on the ballot, then I don't want anyone to worry too much that, it's something that's going to happen very quick. It's going to be a lot of discussion between now and November, and the voters will decide. I think we won't get into the road issues, but look forward to hearing that a lot, I'm sure, in the coming months. I did want to talk a little bit about the Regional Transportation Authority board that'll be meeting tomorrow. We did actually approve an item. I kind of meant to comment on it on the consent calendar, I believe. Councilman Fonzie and I looked into this a little bit more detail. But one thing they are basically removing, there's a board, there's an advisory committee that deals with how routes are set and funding at local level that impacts our transit system, and especially could impact our Dial-A-Ride, which we take as sacred. It's something very important to us because unlike San Luis, where everything is pretty uniform, you take a bus from one stop to another, we've got hills and hard-to-reach places and folks that need to get to doctor's appointments and a lot of things that really require some specialty routes. We have what we call Dial-A-Ride, and it meets that need for veterans, for elderly, And it's something we've kind of kept an eye on. And we're, of course, somewhat nervous. When we did what South County did, we combined several services into one. We have a North County service, just like South County has a South County service. And we, of course, in Atascadero, were concerned that we want to make sure this is meeting the needs of our community. Well, there's a bit of a advisory committee that oversees that, and we are eliminating two positions on that advisory committee, namely the Atascadero and the Paso representatives. And so, Roberta, you asked me about this. Well, gee, that doesn't sound good. We want to make sure we've got input on this. But the benefit was is there's not very much done by this level of committee that used to look at it, and more authority has been given to like another level of a committee that's made up of the two representatives, usually the two mayors and the two county supervisors in North County. So SLOCOG is kind of delegated to this group, us four, to kind of make sure things are taken care of for our North County. And in some ways, this is actually better because rather than having all of the county kind of look over, because believe me, when we had this discussion on a wider basis, I was always having to defend our Dial-A-Ride. People were kind of looking over, gee, that's an expensive service. Couldn't we kind of do something different? And we said, nope, we need it in Atascadero. So I'm confident that in this new arrangement, we're still pretty well protected. And I did talk, since we talked, Councilman Fonzie, I did talk with the director of the Regional Transportation Authority, and he also assured me that the federal funds that are used to divide up to cover these services, that the Regional Transportation Authority will always, you know, they put in writing, they will give priority to Dial-A-Ride and our priorities at the city level, even if it means they have to cut at their level. There's a certain amount of funding that is used for these type of services. And in the past, where other cities were kind of looking at us like, couldn't you guys do better? It's now delegated to just the North County supervisors and mayors to kind of have some input, and we're going to protect it, and we've got some assurances. So I'm, even though we already approved that, just in case you didn't know, I think we're pretty well protected on that particular item. And with that, I can move on. If I don't know if there's any questions on anything I've brought up. Other than that, I'm going to ask staff if they have anything to bring up. Then we can be adjourned. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Not quite yet. We do have to adjourn to back to closed session. And just for the record, could I ask, we dispense with most items on the closed session. Could I ask our city attorney just to report what we have yet to consider? And I will open it up to the public, and then we'll go off on our way again.
Yeah, we'll be recessing to closed session.
Recessing.
And the remaining closed session item is the city attorney evaluation.
Very good. And again, I'll leave it at that. So we'll go to closed session. We will come back. Will we report tonight on that, or we'll...
We don't expect reportable action, but if there is, we'll come back here.
Okay, but we may be completed at this point.
You may be.
Thank you.
This was on the agenda that you approved.
Yes.
Do I need your signature? There's three.